Amen. We come to a section in the book of Exodus that sort of is commentary, is not a lot of narrative, so to speak. We're in Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, through the end of chapter 24. But before we look at that text, I want to establish somewhat of a concept, because we're talking about spirituality tonight. We talked about other aspects of the law in the last couple of weeks. But tonight, defining spirituality by the law. The Bible talks about being spiritual in a number of places, especially in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 refers to ye which are spiritual. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, where Paul could not talk to those people as unto spiritual, though he wanted to. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, we are granted the Holy Spirit, which compares spiritual things with spiritual, because they are spiritually discerned, he says in verse 14. And in verse 15, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. There's a lot of confusion today about this idea of being spiritual, however. Do you ever hear people talk about that in the news media or social media? Oh, they had a spiritual experience. What are they talking about? Well, the way the modern day or new age confusion defines spirituality is that it is a subtle bodily feeling with vague meanings that bring new, clearer meanings. I don't know how vague meanings bring new, clearer meanings. That's the double talk of the New Age movement. But these vague meanings bring new, clearer meanings involving a transcendent growth process. Wow. And many people are spiritual but not theistic. What does that mean? They don't believe in God at all. How can you be spiritual without believing in God? And according to the modern day New Age confusion, spirituality need not be related to religion. Religion refers specifically to an established system of beliefs. Deep spirituality refers first and foremost to a range of feelings and experiences. I'm sorry. That's just not right. Let's talk about how the Bible defines spirituality. Go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Romans chapter, we've talked a lot about the law lately. Try to understand what the Bible teaches about the law. And this is an interesting statement, Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. For I know that the law is spiritual. Did you know that? The law is spiritual? But I am carnal, sold under sin. That's the problem. If there's a problem, it's not with the law. Because the law, you see the words on the page. I didn't make it up. The Bible says the law is spiritual. If there's a problem, the problem's with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2. Here's what God expected of the people. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 2. These people to whom he had directly given the law, which is spiritual, according to the New Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2, he says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep, what's the next word? All. That's a critical word. What does James chapter 2 and verse 10 say? Anybody recognize that address, James chapter 2? 2 and verse. Say it real loud so everybody can hear. One point is all it takes. What did God want the people to do? It says it here. Keep it all. What's the problem? Nobody can do that. That was the point. That was the point. I can't do that. He says that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Well, how do you get your days prolonged? Just keep all of God's commandments. That's all you have to do. And you know, there were not just 10 commandments. There were 613. I have the list. I can't do that. I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. I can't keep all the commandments. And thus the problem is not with the law. The problem is with me. And that was the point. God purposely made the law strict and extensive to prove to man that he cannot make it on his own. Go to Romans chapter 8. And verse 2, and here we are introduced to what the Bible calls the law of the Spirit. Well, that's interesting. Did you know the Holy Spirit had a law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it says. The law of the Spirit involves, verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, walking after the Spirit. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but, by implication, who walk after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit is a very simple exercise. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit. Well, what did Jesus say about the Spirit leading us? Hold your place here in Romans chapter 8. Look over in John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Is guiding the same as leading? Those two terms seem like about the same thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit, where is he going to lead us? Where is he going to guide us? He's going to guide us into all truth. Where is the truth? What did Jesus say about that? John 17, verse 17. Thy word, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible's truth. So, what is walking after the Spirit? Well, we follow him where he leads us. And where will he lead us? He leads us into all truth. And where is the truth? It's in the Bible. So walking after the Spirit is a very simple exercise of following the Holy Spirit as he guides you through the Word of God. That's all it is. It's not a mystical experience. It's not complicated. It's a very simple exercise. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that as you are reading and studying the Bible, you are not striving on your own, but you are listening to the Holy Spirit as he will help you understand it. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. spirituality also, or the law of the Spirit, also involves setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 3 in Romans chapter 8, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit by implication do mind the things of the Spirit. In other words, to mind something is to direct your mind to focus on a particular thing. So to mind the things of the Spirit means I focus my mind on where the Holy Spirit is leading me. I focus my mind and my thoughts on the Word of God as he leads me through the Word of God. I have to focus. Have you ever had the experience of saying, okay, it's time to read the Bible, and you read, and you get down to the bottom of the page, and you think, what did I just read? Maybe you're so tired, or maybe you're not awake yet in the morning, or there are a lot of things for you to think about, and you're distracted, and you do your duty, and you run your eyes over the page, but you really haven't focused. That's not minding the things of the Spirit. You have to focus. The law of the Spirit results in life, verse 10 of Romans chapter 8. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So what we have in the New Testament, in the Bible, according to the Bible, spirituality consists of walking in the Spirit and or after the Spirit and setting our mind on the things of the Spirit as he guides us through the Word of God, giving us understanding of the truth, so that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. As sin results in death, righteousness, the opposite of sin, results in life, which is the opposite of death. Now, that's spirituality. Israel, in Exodus chapter 23, is about to be introduced to spirituality. Would you go back to Exodus chapter 23, please? Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. God says to the people, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. You notice the point I make with this reference in the notes. God gave Israel his son as their guiding angel. How do we know this is God's son? Well, go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. And what does God say? Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. He said, God said to Moses, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. You got that? No one can see God and live. Now go back to our context, Exodus chapter 24. And verse 9, and it says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel." And wait a minute, what does that say? They saw God. Did God contradict himself? No. They saw the Son of God, the angel, God's angel, in who was the name of God, as he expressed it. The Son of God, who is the express image of God the Father. You cannot see God the Father and live, because he never leaves his Shekinah glory. But God the Son does. And so while God calls him his angel, what it tells us is they saw God. We thus are to understand this is the Son of God, who is the guiding angel of the people of Israel. And the people are then given a choice. And the choice is, back to chapter 23, verse 21, obey his voice. Romans chapter 16 and verse 26 gives us an interesting phrase. It's the obedience of faith. There's a large theological discussion about how faith and works go together, how faith and obedience work together. I believe that faith leads to obedience. What is the obedience of faith as it's expressed in Romans chapter 16 and verse 26? Well, you say you believe something. That implies that you trust what you say you believe. And if you trust what you say you believe, then you will act upon it. You say you believe the bridge will hold you. Oh yeah, bridge will hold me. No problem. Okay, walk across it. Well, I don't know about that. You say you believe in God, then trust him. Well, I believe in God, but I don't know about trusting him. Don't those two things go together? If you truly believe him, then you will trust whatever he says. And if you trust what he says, you will act upon it. That's the obedience of faith. And this is what God was expecting of the people of Israel. Obey my son's voice. Trust what he tells you. Follow him into all truth. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 23. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in. That's, he's going to list the tribes of people that lived in the promised land. Israel's being warned not to make the wrong choice. Listen, my son, my angel, is going to lead you into the promised land. He will lead you there. And so when you get there, you must not worship the enemy's gods, verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And he says, God is going to do a lot of things for you. Verse 25. He shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. He will keep them from getting sick, he says in verse 25, and I will take sickness away from thee, from the midst of thee. Verse 26, none of their animals will be barren. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. And everybody's going to live a long life in verse 26. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Everybody gets to live a full number of days. He's going to destroy all of their enemies in verse 27. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. He'll drive the enemies out of the land. Verse 28, I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite. He'll drive out their enemies little by little so as not to destroy the land. Verse 29, I will drive them out from before thee in I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And he will establish the boundaries of the promised land for the people, verse 31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. By the way, if you wonder who has the right to the land today, God established that thousands of years ago. And then he repeats, Exodus 23, verse 32, thou shalt make no covenant with them nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. We have to be careful about yielding ourselves. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. We're talking about blessing. You know, blessing is different than salvation. He's redeemed his people out of Egypt. Now he's talking about blessing them in the land. Salvation and the development of spirituality in the Christian life are two different things. Now, initially, the people made the right choice. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, amen. How easy is it to say amen? People come to church, they hear a sermon. Oh, that was a really good sermon. Ever hear about the preacher that preached the sermon and people complimented him? Oh, that was a great sermon. So the next Sunday they came to church and the preacher preached exactly the same sermon, word for word. And some of the people still complimented him, but a lot of people were scratching their heads. They came the next Sunday, and the third Sunday in a row, he preached exactly the same sermon all over again, word for word. Finally, one of the people went up to him and said, "Preacher, why do you keep preaching the same sermon?" And the preacher said, when you start doing this one, I'll preach another one. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, that's a good sermon. That's basically what these people said. All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Oh, yeah, we'll do them. Amen. Good sermon. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord in verse 4. In verse 5, he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings. Now notice there's two different offerings here. The burnt offerings were totally consumed to ash. The peace offerings were simply roasted. And they could eat the peace offerings, and so that's what they ate here. And in verse 7, we'll make mention of verse 6, Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. Oh, yes, we're going to follow the voice of the Lord right into all truth. We're going to do it. And so Moses consecrated the people. In verse 8, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. That's the other half. Half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. The other half he sprinkled on the people. And said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And then the Israeli leadership, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel saw God. And there was under his feet, in verse 10, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. This is an anthropomorphism, the Son of God appearing in apparent human form, standing on a plane of some kind, the color of transparent sky blue. In verse 11, upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand because they had been sanctified with the blood of the sacrifice. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink, that is, they ate of the peace offerings that had been offered. So easy to say, I'll do the right thing. It's another thing to actually do it. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us into all truth, but it's apparently not very easy to follow him. Moses went up into the mountain, Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. They watched him go up. They watched him go up into the cloud. And they will not see Moses again for 40 days. Verse 18, Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Almost 6 weeks. If a person disappears today and he hasn't been seen or heard of for 7 years, you can have him legally declared dead. It only took the Israelites 6 weeks. Remember back in Exodus chapter 19, God spoke to all the people from the mountain. It was a terrifying thing, and it scared all the people. They didn't want to hear the voice of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. Speak thou with us, Moses, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die, even though they had already heard the voice of the Lord and didn't die. So now God says, Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. Come up to me in the mount, be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written. They don't want to hear my voice, so I'll communicate with them through the written word. Will they obey? Well, if you don't want to hear, what do you not have? You don't have faith, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. They didn't want to hear the voice of God. They're not really going to want to hear the written word. It's the same thing. Romans chapter 9. Verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Gentiles didn't have the law. It was given to Israel. And yet here come these Gentiles that Paul's been preaching to, and they get saved. But in verse 31, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Here these Israelites had the law for centuries, millennia. And they had the law all this time, and they never got saved. Why? Verse 32, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. They didn't really believe it. Oh, yes, all that the Lord said we will do. No, you won't. Because you don't believe it. It's convenient to say, I'll do whatever God says. It's convenient. But you have to believe it. True spirituality begins with a choice. Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No one compels you to confess. You have to do that voluntarily. You have to choose to believe the gospel and to obey the gospel by doing what the gospel says. Receive the Lord Jesus and you can be a child of God, John 1:12. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Whosoever. What a wonderful word. Everyone and each one who by their own will believe. That's how spirituality actually begins. But spirituality is developed with obedience. Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. "And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, that is Jews and Gentiles both, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised, walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham." What were the steps of our father Abraham? God said, "I want you to sacrifice your son." Did he do it? Was it easy? I'm sure it wasn't. But he never questioned. That wasn't the moment he got saved, because it had already been said before that, that he believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. His faith compelled him to obey. And his obedience was evidence of true spirituality within his heart. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." 2 John chapter 1 verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments." 3 John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." We keep his commandments. Do you believe this book? I doubt there's anyone here tonight would say, "Oh no, I don't believe the book." Yeah, I believe the book. Okay then. Do it. Because spirituality means the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And when we walk after the Spirit, we obey the truth. This is what God expected of the Israelites. "I give you my angel, my son. Obey his voice. He'll guide you into all truth. Simply obey his voice. That's all you have to do. That's all we have to do to be spiritual. Obey his voice." Can you do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge you set to our hearts tonight. Give us a heart not only to believe, but a heart that has a willingness to obey what we say we believe. As an act of faith, demonstrating that we truly do trust everything you say. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.